Cry out to him today.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we race through the water of the Word of God. Well, we were talking last week about the fact that the current controversy we see with the Supreme Court pending decision actually is not about getting rid of Roe versus Wade. They will still be allowed to have abortions. That's not the issue. If you look at the Mississippi law that's being considered, they wanted to actually go back to Roe versus Wade. In fact, instead of just having 12 weeks, up to 15 weeks, you could have an abortion. And one of the things about it was that Mississippi realized that, hey, what New York and what's going on in Colorado and what's going on in New Mexico, where abortions are being committed up until the ninth month. I mean, I don't even know if you would be able to stand seeing a baby that's being that has 9 months of development being destroyed. I don't think you could ever put it on the news. You couldn't even look at it. It would be so horrific. So that's what's going on. And Mississippi came up with this law basically saying, let's go back to at least some limit. In fact, we'll make it 15 weeks. And the reason they did that was because almost all abortions are performed before the 15 weeks. So it wouldn't, and even then they had exceptions if the mother's health was in jeopardy or whatever. So we can see that all this hullabaloo is basically what we call a false flag. They want people's emotions to get involved. It's not about getting rid of Roe versus Wade. It's about actually broaden the original Roe versus Wade to 15 weeks. And what they want to do is get rid of this fetal viability that Planned Parenthood versus Casey brought about, which has caused people to be able to commit abortions all the way up to and including the day of delivery. In fact, I mentioned about in Annapolis, Maryland, they proposed legislation called the Pregnant Persons Freedom Act, which allowed abortion even after birth up until 28 days after. And certainly Virginia has also proposed the same thing. Let me just say this, and here's a quote from Mother Teresa. I feel the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion because it's a war against a child. Now, what Scripture tells us is a baby is not a mistake. It's not a problem. It's not a burden. It's not an inconvenience. It's not a nuisance. It's not an accident. It's not a punishment. It's a miracle. And yet, worldwide, it's been over a billion abortions committed. Just imagine how many people and what that we could have learned from them if we would allow them to be born and instead their lives were terminated. So, even people like Albert Einstein, he said there's only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is though everything is a miracle. And that's what we're talking about. The greatest miracle is the miracle of life, and also the second greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. Now, one of the things that also is rising up amongst the Democrats, especially governors in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, is something that happened during the COVID crisis that we had. Okay, if you remember, the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, he sent 4,500 COVID patients to New York state nursing homes, killing thousands of the elderly. And he closed the $21 million Red Hook facility without it seeing a single patient. Well, when this came about and people were complaining that, hey, he's sending COVID patients into nursing homes, these are the people least likely to be able to fight off the sickness and the disease, he was actually killing them. This was all over the news. Now it's hidden. You can't even find it anymore. In fact, they used another false flag. They came up with this idea that he was improperly touching women, and so they drew attention off of what really was going on, which is a mass murder by a man who has never been tried or held accountable for it. And it wasn't just him. The New Jersey governor, Phil Murphy. Phil Murphy sent over 1,000 COVID patients to New York State nursing homes, killing thousands of elderly. Murphy has set the record for the number of COVID deaths among the elderly. And then the Pennsylvania Governor Tim Wolf and his health secretary, Rachel Levin, the Pennsylvania sent COVID patients into nursing homes to kill. Levine removed her own mother first before they sent in those infected with COVID. So we can see that even hidden amongst this whole concept, if the Supreme Court can decide when life begins, it can also decide when life ends. And this reminded me of something that I knew about when I studied the history of America. One of the things that happened in smallpox hit Europe in about 710 AD. Most people that got it, that survived, lived on, and so forth. And so most of the Europeans eventually had become basically able to survive a smallpox epidemic. But what happened when British colonists came to America? They wanted to get rid of the Native Americans, and so they gave them blankets that had been covering the people who died from smallpox, spreading smallpox to their population. I know a lot about just the population of Native Americans through Captain John Smith's book on the Chesapeake Bay. And there were millions of Native Americans here. They were mostly wiped out by disease, and one of the big diseases was smallpox. In fact, there was even a popular show that came out called Logan's Run. And in it, Logan's Run, when you got to be 30, they got rid of you. You died. And one of the things, if you look at this, you look at all these what was the reason? What was the reason for getting rid of the elderly? Well, they're not productive anymore. They're just a drain on society. So Cuomo and the governor, Tim Wolf, and the governor of New Jersey said, wow, we can get rid of a lot of people very quickly by just passing on the disease or passing on the smallpox-infested blankets and trying to limit the population. See, if you look at this whole concept, what basically abortion is all about, and even Ruth Ginsburg made this comment, okay, that basically it's about controlling the population and controlling the population in people that we don't want to reproduce, okay, at the poor, okay, and those with handicaps and whatever. And one of the things that I couldn't help but think of is when we're going to get into the book of Revelation, in Revelation 24, it says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus. I think we're really headed in that direction. You can see it through our the abortion and how it's become more and more liberal, even to the fact of infants after they're born being occurred. We see that there's a move underfoot basically to bring the elderly and get rid of them because they're a drain on society. We can see that it's already been done. This is in the news. This is prophecy being fulfilled today. Now, I want to get back onto the topic of prophecy, and I want to talk something about someone who I really admired, Sir Isaac Newton. He lived around 1687, and he said something that was really interesting. He said that, and by the way, he was one of the smartest that ever lived. In fact, most people agree with that. He was a physicist. However, he spent a lot more time studying the Bible. And this is what he said about the end time. About the time of the end, a body of men will be raised up who will turn their attention to prophecy and insist upon literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition. We see that today. And, you know, I couldn't help but think this last Christmas about we always sing Joy to the World. You know, it's a wonderful song, and we're singing it because the Lord has come. But this is not talking at all about the birth of Jesus. It's talking about his second coming. When you see Joy to the World, the Savior reigns. The Lord is not reigning right now. He rules the world with truth and grace. That's certainly not being done right now. It's his second coming when that will be established. So who really rules the world today? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says Satan is the god of this world. In 1 John 5:19, the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. Revelation 12:12, woe to the earth because the devil has come down and he has great anger. So we see that that's what's going on right now. And one of the things you saw about this concept of the abortion, you see the false flag, okay? And that's that they're going to get rid of with all abortions. That's not what it's about. It's about limiting them. It's about controlling them. Really, you should just put it down into the simple one side or the other. Either you have abortions right on through and including after birth, or you limit them in some way. That's what the issue is about. And I think most Americans, about 71%, I believe, agree that there should be some limit to the age at which we then destroy a life. And why has this issue been coming up? Why did this? Why was this premature reading of a majority opinion by Supreme Court Justice Alito? Why was that leaked? Well, there's probably only one reason you can really think of. It was leaked for one reason. Democrats are in big trouble right now. The economy is down the tubes. We have the borders not being protected. We have mass murders being occurred. In fact, just 2 days ago, we had a death where a young boy, 18 years old, comes in and destroys the life of 19 children. And, you know, it's interesting how the country is so upset about this. In fact, they're saying that the policemen that went in and saw the destruction of these children, they couldn't even stand it. They can't. It's in their minds now. They couldn't even bring this on the news. It's so horrific. It's the same way with abortion. Destroying a child that's 7, 8, 9 months in development is utterly so horrifying that we could never show it on TV. So we have to be very careful, because one of the things you see, I learned this back when I was taking psychology. It's called psychological projection. It's also known as blame setting. It's a theory in psychology in which humans defend themselves against their own unpleasant impulses by denying their existence while attributing them to others. For example, a person who is rude may constantly accuse other people of being rude. So we have to be very careful, because there's many people who are trying to distract us. In fact, one of the ways pickpockets work is that they have a team, and one will distract a person, and while they're distracted, they steal their wallet or steal their purse or whatever. In fact, it was interesting, because my mother, when Cardinal Keeler was being inducted as a cardinal in Rome, she went to see him, to see the ceremony. And she had to go through a course before they went to Rome, because there were so many pickpockets in Rome. She actually had to carry a purse that was on the front of her body, wrapped around her neck and through her shoulders, to protect herself from being stolen. So we have to be wary of distractions. It's the same way magicians work. They distract your attention with smoke and mirrors, making you look at something else while they perform what they want to do. Now, there was something that I want to bring up, because it recently happened. I went to a service in St. Lucie County at St. Bernadette's Church, and it was for the fallen officers in St. Lucie County. It was very heartwarming to see that people show up. Mostly were police, and there were quite a number of people like myself, just ordinary people that came. Of course, my daughter is a AFT agent, so of course I want to support her, and any way I can support the police is important. But one of the things they said and brought out in it, that blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. That's in Matthew 5:9. In other words, we have a system of law in place. In fact, in Romans 13:1, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. So, you know, I didn't agree at all with the Supreme Court original decisions that have occurred in the past. They had decisions to remove prayer from school, decisions to basically not allow the teaching of the Bible in school, decisions of abortion, all these things, but God allowed them to happen. So they were part of the body of evidence that we have to abide by. We have to be subjective to the governing authorities, because God's involved. We don't understand why he allowed this to happen, but he did, and there was a purpose behind it. And we know God is only good, so we know that it's for the best interest of all of us. Now, one of the things that I've been seeing over and over and over again is signs that are being held up by people protesting the possible Supreme Court decision that will basically allow states, and this is really what it's all about, allow states to set what the term fetal viability means, rather than a federal government deciding. This is the whole concept of the battle that occurred way back in the forming of our country concerning the Articles. For example, the first 11 years of our country, we didn't have a constitution. What did we have? We had the Articles of Confederation. It was very much to protect. It was to protect against the federal government ruling over the states. Because why? These people did not want basically the federal government to reassume the power that Britain had over us. Okay, so they wanted to have freedom from that. So again, it's about state rights. Let them decide rather than a federal government, which makes the decision that everybody has to follow. So anyway, I see things like bans off my body, my body, my choice, mind your own uterus. And here's one that was interesting. It said if the fetus you save is gay, will you still fight for its rights? We have gay people also being involved with this issue. Why is that? Okay, so we have to take a look at this, and one of the things we have to consider is that this whole issue, people are not really, first of all, my body, my choice. Really, our bodies were created by God. We were made in His image, and even if we rebelled against Him, Jesus came and bought us back with the price of His blood. So really, our bodies are not our own. They belong to God, and we should be following and using them in God's way. So one of the things you want to see that constantly is trying to, people want to sympathize things, simplify things down like that. We're trying to do away with abortion. It's not about that. You ought to read a little bit. In fact, I had a rough time. I was trying to find the 98 pages that Aiello, the Supreme Court Justice, that he wrote about his opinion, which would be, we think, the majority opinion. And I couldn't even find it anywhere. I did find 14 pages that it was a summary of it. So really, what people are trying to do is keep your mind off the details. They don't want you to know what the issues are really about. They just want to have a big false flag that's flying that gets people all roused up. And it's not anything but what I call living with golden fantasies of an endless nurtured infancy, a neurotic refusal to grow up. It's like the Peter Pan syndrome. Okay, Peter Pan, of course, never grew up. And that's what I think many of our in our government want us to not grow up, not us to understand the actual true issues behind what is being talked about in the news. They're just basically having news clips which misrepresent the truth. They don't want you to go into detail. They don't want an honest, sincere discussion. They don't want you to use your intellect to understand the issue and to make a logical and a critical decision based on facts and not on just a slogan. In fact, I remember one of the things that I constantly ran into when I was a naturalist was a tree they called the Peter Pan tree. It was the American chestnut. The American chestnut was a massive tree. I mean, the hollowed out pieces sometimes were used as small little shelters that people could live in for a short period of time. And what happened was we ended up thinking we were smart. We were going to bring in another chestnut tree that didn't grow so big because people wanted chestnuts, but they didn't want to have this massive tree in their yard. So they brought over the Oriental chestnut. Little did they know that this Oriental chestnut carried a fungus which got into all our Native American trees. Do you know that almost half the forest in America was in the East was American chestnut? They were literally all destroyed by this one plant that we brought in. This is man's wisdom again, bringing in things. And so what I used to call the trees that I saw from the stumps, you would see little shoots coming up. They would only live for a short period of time. But we called it the Peter Pan tree because it never grew up. So we want to grow up. And remember, this whole concept of we don't our lives and our bodies belong to God. He formed us. He created us. It's like the iRobot I have at home. If that doesn't function for what I intended and bought it for and it was basically used and created to do a job of sweeping the floors, if that rebelled against me, I would get rid of it. Well, God actually didn't get rid of us. Instead, He sent a Savior to die for us instead and bought us back. So we're really owned twice. We're owned because He created us, and we're owned because He paid the ultimate price to buy us back when we rebelled. And, you know, one of the good examples is the story of Pygmalion. If you remember Pygmalion, he made this beautiful statue he carved, and he played to the god Venus, and he was in love with it, and she ended up making it alive again. But what ended up happening was he ended up marrying her, but there's alternatives to the story that actually she rebelled against him and didn't want him. It's sort of what we did with God. We say, these are our bodies, okay, although He created us in His image, although Jesus died for our sins and bought us back. Okay, we still consider it ours. And you see what, if you go right back to the garden again, okay, what was the whole thing there? Instead of relying on God as our ruler, as our leader, we decided to know the difference between right and wrong, know the difference between sin, know the difference between evil and good, and look what that's caused. Okay, we have a mess. In fact, just think, there's 10 commandments. If everybody in the entire world just obeyed those 10, we would need no government. We would need no police. We'd need all the things that we have. It would be working perfectly. Okay. Now I want to go into something that I saw that you have to understand, and that's this Margaret Sanger and her influence. Margaret Sanger, of course, Planned Parenthood. Now, I mentioned her before and all the things that she said, and I'm going to finish up today with 21 of her quotes because this is the foundational platform of the Democratic Liberal Party. Margaret Sanger is basically one of the major influences on, and she started way back with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt. They were great friends, Margaret Sanger and Eleanor Roosevelt. And one of the things, they both came from Irish working class roots. They both had parallel lives. And I have a picture that I'm looking at right now, which is Margaret Sanger talking to Eleanor Roosevelt. And one of the things, you know, we talked about before was that she did not really care for black people. She did not care for, wanted to limit their reproduction. She did not like Jews. She did not like slavs. There was a whole group of people you can see that basically were against her. And one of the things that happened because of this is we see that when a ship came to America during the Roosevelt era, remember, Roosevelt, Eleanor, and Margaret Sanger were close together. Remember, there was a ship called the St. Louis, and they had people that were from Germany that were escaping the coming Holocaust. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt refused to let them land in his country. And why? Well, we can think of Margaret Sanger's hatred and of course, her close association with Eleanor Roosevelt. And then also during World War II, okay, what happened to all the Slavic people? Remember, World War II was started over a conflict, and the conflict was basically invasion of Poland. And then what happened afterwards? Poland was the most destroyed of all the countries, and afterwards we just gave it away. The purpose of the war was to free them, and in the end we ended up giving them to the Soviet Union. So you can see why. Because Margaret Sanger and also our particular president at the time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had an aversion to Slavs and an aversion to the Jews. Now I'm going to just end, and I want to end this topic because I've been on it for quite a while, but I'm going to end with the Margaret Sanger's comments. These are quotes. I'm going to give the references so you see that they are right from her voice. But for my view, I believe there should be no more babies. This was done with an interview with John Parsons in 1947. Number two, the most merciful thing that a large family does is to have one of its infants killed. Women and a New Race, Chapter 5, The Wickedness of Creating Large Families. She did that in 1920. And three, we don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. She said this in a letter to Dr. Clarence Gamble on December 10th, 1939. Number four, she spoke at a woman's branch of the Ku Klux Klan and then had a dozen interviews afterwards supporting their viewpoint. Number five, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease and their parents and have no chance in the world to be a human being practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just mark them not born. That, to me, is the greatest sin that people can commit. This was done and people can commit in an interview with journalist Mike Wallace in 1957. Number six, the most serious evil of our times is that of encouraging the bringing into the world of large families. The most immoral practice of the day is breeding too many children. Margaret Sanger, Woman and the New Race in 1920, Chapter 5, The Wickedness of Creating Large Families. Number seven, okay, and an advocate of birth control. I wish to take advantage of the present opportunity to point out that the imbalance between birth rate of the unfit and the fit, admitting the greatest present menace to civilization, can never be rectified by the inauguration of a cradle competition between the two classes. Margaret Sanger in The Eugenic Value of Birth Control in 1921. Okay, number eight. The most urgent problem today is how to limit and discourage the overfertility of the mentally and physically defective. Margaret Sanger, 1921, in her Eugenic Value of Birth Control Propaganda, Birth Control Review. Number nine, no more children should be born when the parents, though healthy themselves, find that their children are physically or mentally defective. Margaret Sanger, in 1918, said this, when should a woman avoid having children? Birth Control Review, November 1918, Margaret Sanger on microfilm in the Congress. Number 10, A marriage license shall in itself give a husband and wife only the right to a common household and not the right to parenthood. Margaret Sanger said this in America Needs a Code of Babies in March 1934 in an article. Number 11, no woman shall have the right to bear a child, and no man shall have the right to become a father without a permit for parenthood. Margaret Sanger, America Needs a Code for Babies, done in March 27, 1934. Number 12, permits for parenthood should be issued upon application by the city, county, or state authorities to married couples, providing that they financially are able to support the expected child, have the qualifications needed for proper rearing of the child, have no transmittable diseases, and on a woman's part, no medical indication that maternity is likely to result in death or permanent injury to health. Margaret Sanger, In America Needs a Code for Babies, March 27, 1934. No permit for parenthood shall be valid for more than one birth. Margaret Sanger, America Needs a Code for Babies, March 27, 1934. Number 14, apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation so that the grade of population whose progeny is tainted or those in inheritance is such that the objectionable traits may be transmitted to offspring, was said by Margaret Sanger on My Way to Peace in January 17, 1932. Okay, and then number 15. These two words, birth control, sum up our whole philosophy. It means the release and cultivation of the better elements in our society and the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks. Those human weeds which threaten the blooming of our finest flowers of American civilization. She said this in Highlights in the History of Birth Control. Number 16, organized charity itself is the symptom of a malignant social disease. She said this in 1922 in The Pivot of Civilization. Number 17, my own position is that the Catholic doctrine is illogical, not in accord with science, and definitely against social welfare, race improvement. Margaret Sanger, The Pope's Position on Birth Control, January 27, 1932. Number 18, all the problems are a result of overbreeding among the working class. Knowledge of birth control is essentially moral. It's general, though prudent. Practice must lead to a higher individuality and ultimate to a cleaner race. She said this in Morality and Birth Control on February 1918. Number 20, feeble-mindedness perpetuates itself through the ranks of those who are blatantly indifferent to their racial responsibilities, and it is largely this type of humanity that we need to draw upon in the population to get rid of. In this orgy of multiplying and replenishing the earth, this type is plain passé, multiplying and perpetuating those dearest evils in which we must, if civilization is to survive, exterminate by the very roots. Margaret Sanger, The Pivot of Civilization, 1932. And then finally, number 21, birth control itself, often denounced as a violation of natural law, is nothing more or less than the facilitation of the process of weeding out the unfit, of preventing the birth of defectiveness, of defectives, or of those who would become defectives. If we are to make racial progress, this development of womanhood must proceed in every individual woman, from her voice in Woman and the New Race, 1920. So we can see what the platform currently today of the Democratic Party is. They fully support Margaret Sanger and everything that she stands for. This we need to make sure that we use in our decisions before we go and vote. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.
Above all powers, above above all kings, above all nature and all created things.